Alexander versus Chicago Reform Board of Trustees.
Good morning, Your Honor. It's George C. Ponticus representing.
Excuse me, Mr. Ponticus. We need another counsel.
You seem to be alone. You scared them off.
Given the posture of this case, Your Honor, I don't think I scared them off.
We'll check to see.
All right.
Maybe out in the hall.
Other than that, how's your good health?
Good, Your Honor. Thank you very much. I'm approaching my 66th year, and my daughters want me to retire.
And you're 10 years younger than I am, so hang in there.
Mr. Ponticus, if you don't mind, why don't you just have a seat, and we may move to the seventh case. Mm-hmm. We'll come back and pick your...
That's fine, Your Honor. Thank you.
The next case is United States versus Franklin. Similar problem.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
Well, Nick?
What's to argue?
Do we have counsel for Anderson versus United Armored Services?
Maybe we frighten them all.
Right. Here looks like some counsel. Here's somebody.
Well, I hate to go to the last one, or the we have Navate versus City of Indianapolis. Are they present?
Yeah, because they're out of town.
Well, we've called several. Who's your client?
Franklin.
That's seven.
That's seven. Well, we'll go with the counsel at the table. Let's take this last case first. Vante versus City of Indianapolis.
Thank you, Your Honors. May it please the court. My name is Bruce Davidson. I'm the attorney for the appellant, Brian Navaty. We're here today with respect to a granting of summary judgment for the defendant, City of Indianapolis. In a nutshell, this case involves an issue of First Amendment involving a police lieutenant. In 1997, and I'll be brief with the facts, in 1997 there was a corruption probe initiated in Indianapolis. My client was approached by a reporter sent to my client from the Public Information Office to give statements regarding this corruption probe. My client had some information. He gave the information to the reporter. And shortly thereafter, comments and actions were taken against him. Now, with respect to the First Amendment issue, the district court...
Let me interrupt you. During the pendency in his appeal, wasn't your client promoted?
Yes, he was promoted by a subsequent administration. There was a lengthy delay. He was promoted to captain early in this year.
What's his beef?
Well, Your Honor, the problem is that in a nutshell, he was told in no uncertain terms by the administration before the administration that promoted
that he wasn't going to get promoted.
That he was never going to be promoted.
But he got promoted.
I'm sorry, Your Honor.
But he got promoted.
Right. Our position, Your Honor, is that
he was sensitive to that discussion about not being promoted, so he had to sue somebody.
Well, Your Honor, the position is this, Judge Bauer, that if you speak out on a matter of public concern and you're told that you are now totally, unequivocally unpromotable.
And then you get promoted anyway.
It's going to chill First Amendment rights, Your Honor.
Well, I hadn't noticed any shilling in effect for anybody involved. I mean, but he did get promoted, and what do we do now? We send him back downtown and get promoted again, or what?
Well, no, Your Honor, but there does need to be a determination as to whether or not the conduct of the city of Indianapolis chilled.
So what we're doing now, you're asking us to admonish the city of Indianapolis not to chill anybody's First Amendment rights.
That's exactly correct.
I'll do that from here. I'll say it out loud. Please don't chill anybody's First Amendment right. Well, okay now.
Well,
I don't know what relief we give you.
Well, Your Honor, the fact that this man was eventually promoted by a different administration, I don't believe should deter us from making the determination that the city of Indianapolis said, you speak out on a matter of public concern, you survived the Pickering test, and you are now unequivocally never going to be promoted.
And
that's going to chill speech.
And having what kind of an order do we enter?
I definitely, Your Honor, don't want to be in a position to tell the court what order to...
If you can't tell us what you want, what do we give you?
Your Honor, I suspect we would want the court to ask the city of Indianapolis whether this man could have been promoted to captain, which is a non-politically appointed position two years earlier when he rated the position. We're talking about 2 years.
And we get go back and tell him he ought to be more handsome, too, but we can't. The fact of the matter is there's nothing we can do. It is done. The city has done it. They've promoted him.
I understand that, Your Honor. But when it comes to issues involving First Amendment, many, many times actual damages are not quantifiable. Or if they are, they're very minimal.
Mr. Butts, I yield to nobody in my position on the First Amendment. But I will suggest to you that having accomplished what you want to accomplish, they promoted him. You probably get rid of the prior jurisdiction, or you probably the prior administration just through this splendid action on your part. You've won.
Well, I appreciate that, Your Honor. I wish that was all through it. I wouldn't have made the trip up here. but I understand your point.
I feel exactly the same way.
Judge Barr, I do appreciate your point. It is well taken. Many of my First Amendment cases deal with very little in actual damages. But there, at that period of time, for about a year and a half, there was a feeling of you keep your mouth shut, you don't speak out about anything, or you will suffer the consequences. My client was told through the chief, and there's evidence in the record, that you are now unpromotable. And that's going to chill speech. So, at any rate... The district court judge did rule that we survived, or we met the balancing tests of Pickering and Connick. And we're here to determine, Your Honor, whether or not my client
is promotable.
Actually, whether or not he was promotable and whether or not he was not promoted, but more importantly, whether or not his speech was chilled. And in conclusion, this court handed down two decisions that I'd like to remind the court of. One is the Giuseppe, which is another mouthful, 1995 case, and then also Power v. Summers, a 2000 decision, where this court addressed whether or not even minor forms of adverse employment action is actionable under 1983. We believe that it is. We believe that there is plenty of evidence in the record to take this case to the jury and to determine whether or not the city of Indianapolis did show my client's speech. Appreciate your time.
Thank you, Mr. Davidson.
You're welcome, Your Honor.
Ms. LeBolt.
May it please the court, I'm Robin M. Leibold. I'm here on behalf of the city defendants for the city of Indianapolis in this case. For the preliminary matter, Judge Bauer was absolutely correct. There is no issue regarding promotion. Previous counsel for plaintiff also correctly recognized that, and the district court relied on that. In the appendix, in the plaintiff's opposition to summary judgment, footnote number 6, plaintiff's counsel acknowledged failure to promote was never a claim in the original complaint, and it certainly wasn't right for review at the time summary judgment was briefed. As Judge Bowers acknowledged, the city's subsequent promotion of plaintiff to captain has completely taken that issue off the table. The only arguable issue for this panel to consider, and I'm only going to address it briefly because counsel for plaintiff has raised it in his brief, is whether or not the district court correctly determined that the city of Indianapolis did not retaliate against the plaintiff in violation of his First Amendment right in the context of an appointment to Major when they, in 1999, decided to appoint several other officers to Major. The district court decision should be affirmed for three reasons. One, in the context of an appointment to Major, a policymaking position, plaintiff's speech was simply not constitutionally protected. Two, the plaintiff did not suffer a significantly adequate deprivation to bring this under the ambit of First Amendment protection. And three, defendants showed, and the record conclusively shows, that the department and former Chief Zonk was not inclined to appoint plaintiff to a policymaking position far before, in fact, 13 months before the 1998 media statement at issue. Plaintiff's speech is not constitutionally protected for two reasons. One, it's undisputed that this is a appointment to Major is a policymaking position. And two, the record shows conclusively that the speech at issue, the 1998 media statement, was a public statement that was somewhat contrary to the policy views of the department.
Well, what was his rank when he made the statement?
At the time he made the statement, he was, in fact, a lieutenant.
Is that a policymaking?
No, Your Honor, it is not. However, this...
But I mean, if you talk too much, you're not going to be put into a policymaking position by promotion. There are members of some courts, you know, that talk so much you never make it to the Supreme Court. You think that they're chilled and they're... Is nobody going to appoint him?
Well, Judge, again, I think it's important to note we are not talking about promotion. We are talking about appointment to a policymaking.
Yeah, that's what I mean.
And this.
Well, you would still call it a promotion, wouldn't you? To move from lieutenant to major?
I would call it an advancement, yes. But
how about a promotion being an advancement? Can we use those terms interchangeably? Or?
Right. But, Your Honor, again, the law in this circuit is clear that because there's this tension between the protection that we give it, the law is clear that we can remove a person from a policymaking position.
And you don't have to appoint him to a policy
right.
position if you don't want it.
Exactly.
Okay,
exactly.
We got that down. Call,
that
right?
is simple. Again, second, in this case, an action must be sufficiently adverse to deter the exercise of a protected right, and that's Power v. Summers. In this case, the key thing that we have to remember, the record is clear that there was no action taken by the department that could create any potential for chilling an employee's speech. Plaintiff remained in his merit rank. He remained eligible for appointment. He retained his number one position on the promotion list, which is the list that they use for.
As near as I can tell, his only beef was that somebody told him he was unpromotable because he talks too much.
Judge, that is certainly plaintiff's contention. We would argue...
Oh, wait. I mean, do you think that's what he's complaining about? Or
no, Judge, and I'd like to take a moment to clarify the
record.
Okay,
what else do you think he's complaining about?
Plaintiff is relying on deposition testimony of three individuals. Former Chief Zonk,
yeah.
Officer Mungovan, who
right.
was in the chief's inner circle,
right.
and plaintiff himself. If
right.
you look at the deposition testimony, Chief Zonk denies saying that. He says no.
Yeah, but that is his
asked,
beef, isn't it?
Yes, that is his beef, that the chief said, I'm never, ever going to advance you, promote you, or anything. When you look at the...
Is there any other beef other than that?
Not that I'm aware of it, issue on appeal today, Judge.
Okay.
And again, in point of clarification, the other two sites that plaintiff relies on, if you look at Mungovan's testimony, he, in fact, states, no, what I was talking about, the chief saying, the gist of the chief saying that he didn't want to advance this individual, he specifically says it was in the context of appointment, not promotion. The only
so is captain a merit position?
Yes, Your Honor.
So majors, when you move to major, that's the policy position?
Yes, Your Honor.
How many majors are there in the Indianapolis Police Department?
Your Honor, at this time I would not be in a position to tell you exactly how many. I know there's a number of them, more than five.
That's a lot.
In conclusion, the City of Indianapolis requests that this court affirm the district court granting a summary judgment in favor of the defendant for the three reasons previously stated. Plaintiff's speech simply is not constitutionally protected. Even if it were, it was no sufficiently adverse deprivation to chill his speech, and former Chief Zonk was not inclined to appoint this plaintiff even in the absence of the 1998 media statement. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Ms. Lovell. Davidson?
Thank you, Your Honors. Very briefly, and I've read so many cases from this distinguished court, references time and time again about this court not being a super personnel department. And we've been talking for a few minutes about whether or not Ryan Abbott should be a lieutenant, a captain, or a major. At one point he was a deputy chief, but I know that's beside the point. What is at issue here is not whether he should be a lieutenant or a patrolman or a meter maid. What's at issue is he spoke out. The district court, I think contrary to what counsel just said, the district court did rule that his speech was protected, that it was a matter of public concern, and that his speech outweighed the concerns of running an efficient department. The department wasn't harmed by his speech. At any rate, his speech was protected. Now, if we can show evidence that the department stepped in and said, guess what? The other 1,049 police officers for the City of Indianapolis, they can be promoted. You can't. That's an adverse job action. Every police officer wants to be promoted. More money, more responsibility, the whole nine yards. There was harm, contrary to what was just argued. There was a point made about being promoted to a policy-making position. That's true. We would never argue that. I've never argued that in any of my briefs. I don't argue that today. That man back there is not entitled to a major's position. And if he were a major, just like when he was a deputy chief, he can be removed for whatever reason. I totally understand that. I've read Rutan a million times, and I understand that. Our point of contention is that there's plenty of evidence, contrary to what was just said, and I've got a whole list of sites in the records, which I would not have time to read if I wanted to, but there's plenty of evidence in there that demonstrates that the City of Indianapolis' chief at that time said, gee, Zhao, I don't like what you said to the media. It makes me look bad. I didn't like it. You're not going to be promoted. At one point, the chief didn't deny, and this is page 91 of the record, didn't deny that this man would never be promoted to any rank, merit or non-merit. And we think that when that situation reverberates through the department, people are going to clam up if they want to move up. And that's simply our position. Counsel cited Power v. Summers, and I think that that's an excellent case standing for our proposition that his constitutional rights were violated. And again, and I see I'm out of time, I'm not asking this court to promote this man. If you could, I probably would ask you, but I'm not asking for that.
Well, Mr. Davidson, I don't want to beat a dead horse, but what are you asking us to do?
Remand this back for determination as to whether or not his constitutional rights were violated. I suspect, in all honesty, it may be a stretch, whether or not he should have been promoted to captain. A position that he tested for, and I think he placed first or second, a promotion that I would argue was held up for a long time because of this First Amendment animus by the chief. And if not that, at least a determination, and again, you know, he's not going to get a big fat check, and probably neither will I. You know, if this court does remand it, but there will be a determination, as there is in many types of First Amendment cases, that a right was violated. So I apologize for the long-winded answer to your short question, Judge.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Thanks to both counsel. The case will be taken under